Welcome to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Talk about stuff that's messing with your head and crazy stuff that's happening in the bed. Why? Because many church folks are falling in the darkness. The Bible calls us to walk as children of light. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen of Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Well, one of the things, ladies and gentlemen, that's giving the church a big black eye is Christians are into pornography. Yes, I didn't say worldly people are in pornography. I say Christians are in pornography. And that's giving the church a big black eye. Yeah, because when people find out that a child of God is into pornography, then they kind of look at them kind of strange, because you wouldn't think that a Christian is into pornography. Yes, but Christians, ladies and gentlemen, it's a major problem. It's a major problem. It's a problem that we don't hardly talk about. It's a problem that we try to sweep under the rug. It's a little dirty little secret that's in the church. But, ladies and gentlemen, it's a major problem. And we need to expose it. We need to bring it to the light. And we need to deal with it. We need to deal with it. Yeah. Yeah, we need to deal with it. And somebody may ask the question, well, how bad is the problem? Well, you're going to find out today. You're going to find out today here on Ghostbuster, because we have a doctor named Dr. Ted Roberts. Dr. Roberts, he's a counselor, but he also have that medical side where he can deal with it from a biblical perspective, but also from a clinical perspective. He has counseled many, many, many people on pornography and getting off pornography and drugs and alcohol and what have you. And we're going to listen to him today. Now, this tape has been taken from True News Network, the True News Network. I often listen to them, and Dr. Roberts is on that show, and so we're going to jump in right now. I didn't catch the beginning of it, but we're going to start the tape right here. And I want you to listen to it for yourself, and you're going to see just how bad this problem is. So get close to your radio and listen.
Involved in sexual activity, and it's counter to his very value structures. I've counseled pastors that pastor 14, 15, 20,000 people, preach sermons that will drop you to your knees, and they love Christ with all their heart, and they'll go out and visit prostitutes afterwards. They're caught with hooks in their soul, and they need a system and an approach that's biblically based and clinically solid that helps them to get out. And it's not a one-time prayer deal. About 2 to 8% of the people will spontaneously come out of it. The other 92 to 98% of people, it's a 2 to 5 year process with a miracle every single step of the way.
So, can the physical damage to the brain be reversed?
Yes, it's like a cocaine addict. Once you get him, if you do a functional MRI scan of a cocaine addict, his prefrontal cortex will be affected. And once you get him detoxed and then get him in a healthy environment where he's accessing the wound that he's been medicating with the drugs, his brain will restructure itself. It'll come back to health. Paul, 2,000 years ago, said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And guess what? Science discovered in the 1990s, Paul was right. They didn't believe him for hundreds of years before. They found out that you can restructure your brain. It's called neuroplasticity. In fact, your brain is being changed every second of every day. That's why devotions on the front of the day that you have in the morning is crucial, because it begins to form your brain for the rest of the day that's coming.
Dr. Roberts, have you found over the years that a lot of pornography addiction is the byproduct of deep emotional pain or rejection or loss in somebody's life?
Yeah, without an exception, when you're dealing with a sexual addict or a guy caught in sexual bondage, it's an attachment or intimacy disorder. I've never had someone come into my office and not tell me, hey, I came from a great Christian home. They always say that. They always say it. But once I started helping them look at their home, they discovered that it wasn't exactly healthy. 70% of sexual addicts come from rigid, disengaged homes. And one of the classic descriptions of a rigid, disengaged home is a fundamental evangelical home, where you have all kinds of rules but no relationship. And the parents are terrified their kid's not going to grow up in the faith. So instead of helping them walk, they have a lot of rules. And that's why we have so many, well, Barnard did a study recently, the next generation, when they go to college, they just drop off the cliff spiritually. So we've got to have, well, the good news is this. The most sexually driven culture in the ancient Near East was ancient Rome, Babylon, as Peter called it. And yet the church rose up with such purity and passion and power that they turned that culture right side up. I believe that God still wants to have a real revival in America. And a revival is not where the Christians get happy and jump up and down. Revival is where we live with such integrity and purity, we change the culture. I don't believe God's given up on us yet, but we're coming right to the edge of his grace.
That's right.
And for such a time as this, it's time for the church to rise up, because the statistics in the church are mind-boggling. When I share these statistics, people just go blank because they can't believe it. But I didn't pull these off the internet. I didn't get them from some study. These are clinical studies I've done myself. The average evangelical church in America today, 60 to 70% of the men sitting in the pew are sexual addicts clinically. 25 to 30% of the women are sexual addicts. 50 to 58% of the pastors standing in the pulpit are sexual addicts.
Wait a minute. 58% of the pastors... Did you say
50 to 58% of the pastors are sexual addicts?
And did you say 70% of the men?
60 to 70% of the men are sexual
addicts. These are in evangelical churches.
Yes, we have over 3,000 data points now. What we do is we do a sexy Christian seminar. We have to change the name sometimes because two churches are uptight. But what I do is I give them an intimacy survey before I come. I say, this is going to check you on your ability to be intimate. Well, it's actually a sexual addiction screening test, and that's where I get the statistics. We have over 3,000 data points now that 60 to 70% of the guys are sexual addicts. And these are guys who are coming to seminars on healthy marriage, let alone the guys who won't even come. Remember, we did a seminar at a large evangelical church, and the guy pastor smiled at me and he said, well, I know what other churches are, but we preach the Bible here. And he's a great guy, and they do preach the Bible. He says, we won't be that bad. And I smiled after I gave him the statistics. I said, yeah, you weren't normal. You were 72%.
Wow. Are there any families that are not dysfunctional in some degree?
Great question. We're all dysfunctional because Adam and Eve were mom and dad. It's just the level of dysfunctionality that we're having. And what we have to do is have real repentance, not in a performance way, where we're trying to live up to this ideal Christian standard, but real repentance by acknowledging the places where we are coming up short with our kids and being in an environment where it's not top-down rule structure, but it's a natural consequences where we're helping our kids be prepared for life. Like, we should be training our children on human sexuality by the minimum of the first grade. The church is not responsible to do that. The parents are. Because why should it be that early? Because that's when the world's changing, training our kids by the first grade. I have a grandson who is in the second grade. He's riding on the bus a couple weeks ago. And this fellow right next to him leans over. He's got an iPhone. He says, hey, look at this. It's all porn. 50% of iPhone traffic in America is porn.
50%.
Yeah.
And what's so troubling, Dr. Roberts, is that for young people, they have no knowledge, no awareness that porn is not normal.
I mean,
you and I grew up in an age when, you know, what porn was there, they hid it behind counters.
Right.
Today, it's on iPhones. You get kids in junior high that are sexting, sending nude photographs of themselves to other kids that are, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old. This is normal behavior now.
Yeah, well, the primary users of internet pornography in America are 12 to 17 years old. Only 3% of men who enter college as freshmen have not viewed porn. And 50% of college students are involved in oral sex once a month. So it's just, and 75% of high school students involved in sex. So it's, but for such a time as this, it's time for the church to rise up, not just preach it, them out there. We've got to deal with our stuff here. That's why we developed Pure Desire Ministries. We've just also formed an agreement with a denomination where I said 50% of your pastors are addicts, and I can prove it to you. Why don't we do something prophetic? Why don't we see if they're struggling and they're not acting out with another human being or viewing anything illegal like child porn, fill in the blank, that if they acknowledge it, they can stay in the pulpit and you'll send them to Pure Desire and we'll get them healed. Because we've got to start from the top down and the bottom up. Because there's no way we can have a revival. It's absolutely impossible in the present condition of the church. I mean, God's not going to give us a revival. He has to repent to do it. He's not going to do that.
How are we going to lead the unsaved people to Christ when the church itself is wrapped up in these kinds of sins?
Yeah, and the unchurched people know that. I mean, they're not stupid. When we started a Pure Desire Ministries 20 years ago, I announced it in our services. We only had 5 services at that time. And the 11:30 service on Sunday was where the unchurched came by the droves because they were getting over their hangovers. And so I stood up and announced we were going to do it, and there was stunned silence. This one lady in the second row stood up and started applauding massively, and then the whole congregation stood up, and I realized what they were doing. They were finally saying, I can't believe that the church is going to deal with reality. And it was just amazing. Just the whole place exploded. A novel concept of church is a place you go to get healed. It's amazing.
Yes, and we're getting hallelujah bells right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's a perfect sound effect at that time. You mentioned a few minutes ago intimacy disorders. What? Talk about that.
Yeah, someone caught in sexual bondage can have intercourse, but they can't be intimate. Intimacy, and we help people understand this in the Sexually Christian Seminar to help people understand what healthy sexuality. Intimacy is not being close and comfortable. It's being uncomfortably close, where another human being, your mate, looks down in your soul, warts and all, and you allow them to be that close to you. What happens is sexual bondage is not about sex. It's how you medicate the pain of your life. And usually what will happen, the young man will discover sexuality when he starts hitting his teen years, and he's got a lot of pain in his soul, and he'll just start masturbating to alleviate the pain. In fact, there's a whole new phenomenon that's come out this last year in clinical settings. There's sexual addiction and there's porn addiction. And what happens is we're discovering 15, 16-year-old kids that are having erectile dysfunction because they're watching so much porn for so long that it's affected their ability to respond to a human being, so that they're erectile dysfunction when they get married. And it's starting to just tear our culture apart.
So repeated exposure as a teenager to pornographic images actually physically changes the young man's ability to sexually perform with his wife when he's married.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. They can't relate to a real human being.
Well, this is like the guy, you know, in Aurora, Colorado. I mean, he thinks he's in a movie.
Yeah.
We have a whole generation of young people today who can't distinguish the difference between video and reality. They don't know the difference anymore.
No. He was sexting before he went to that movie.
You mentioned trying to alleviate the pain, destructive behavior to alleviate the pain. So a lot of this destructive behavior in people, and it doesn't have to be sexual addiction. It could be through drinking. It could be through a lot of gambling. They're simply doing something because they hurt so much, and that destructive behavior gives them an escape from that pain for a few minutes or maybe an hour or two.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's only two options you have in pain in this world, in the fallen world. So pain is not an option. So how are you going to deal with pain? There's only two ways. Number one, you can say, God has a purpose in this pain. My life is Father filtered. Even though this is unfair, this is unjust, there's purpose in this pain. And that'll lead to development of healthy inner structures of your soul, which is called psychobabble differentiation. You'll have good, healthy boundaries. And then that will enable you to relate to other people, and eventually it'll enable you to walk in faith. The only other option you have is to take this pain and numb it with pleasure. And that'll lead in disassociation, big fancy term for you're not really here. You're escaping into fantasy. And that'll lead into isolation, lead into denial, lead into addiction, and lead into hell. Those are the only two options. That's why adultery is such a perverted expression of idolatry, because you're seeking someone else to medicate the pain within your soul, and you're rather than turning to God. And sexual idolatry is all the way through, from the beginning of Scripture to all the way to the end. It's constantly been a battle for the people of God.
And the Bible always equates idolatry with whoredom and adultery.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because the Bible puts a sexual connotation to idolatry.
Yes, because what will happen is you're not turning to your first love, which is God. You're turning to a false love that will lead you to hell every time. Now, the good news is we're starting to see some breakthrough in the church. The church is finally realizing we've got to deal with this. Lawsuits are starting to take place. Well, the Catholic Church had their first priest sent to jail. And so that's going to start changing the structure in that situation. And the Protestant church will soon start experiencing that if it doesn't start dealing with this effectively. And just trying harder doesn't work.
Are sexual fantasies another form of idolatry?
Yeah, what will happen when a guy starts getting healthy, we take pastors and leaders through about a year-long process. And about halfway through, they'll say to me in one form or another, wow, I can't believe how much free time I have, because their brain has constantly been fantasizing in an ongoing way. When you picture something in your brain and you imagine it, it's the same thing as experiencing it. So it begins to prepare your brain for the addictive cycle of acting out. Fantasy will lead to acting out inevitably.
And Jesus told us that if you look upon a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery.
Yeah, and fortunately, he uses the present tense there, so it's if you do that on a continuous basis.
Mm-hmm.
In our culture today, it's so sexualized, it's almost impossible for a man not to have sexual thoughts come to him. But as Luther said, you can't stop the birds from flying over the trees, but you can sure stop them from building the nest there.
Mm-hmm. And I think for most healthy young males, they rationalize to themselves, the reason I think about sexual activity so much is that this is normal. I'm a male. This is just normal.
Right.
But they don't realize that it's actually fantasizing, and they're committing adultery in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
All day long.
And they're starting to change their structure of their brain. And what will happen in their arousal template, that's a structure that we have in our brain, that sexual arousal template, is being formed. And so it's going to be harder and harder for them to walk in purity. Now, that's why a devotional life is absolutely non-negotiable, and that's why you cannot win this battle alone. You've got to be in a combat team. There needs to be at least four other men in your life that know every secret in your life, because this power of sin is secrecy. There need to be at least four men in your life that know everything you know you've done in your life, the secrets that you hide, that you can easily medicate.
Now, you know, that's scaring the daylights out of a lot of guys right now.
Yeah, well, most guys are isolated.
That's right.
One of the constant, I just had a client, I just got off the internet with him. He said, you know, one of the things I've discovered in this Pure Desire ministry is I finally have some friends in my Pure Desire group. These guys are my brothers. We'll go into battle together. You can't win this battle alone. As a young man, in this culture today, we're not getting married till we're 27, for heaven's sakes, and you're getting constantly bombarded sexually. Just to try harder is not going to work. You've got to get in a combat team. You need to understand what the sexual addictional cycle is. You need to understand the master strategy from hell that promises you everything and gives you nothing. and you live in a fallen world, you're going to get wounded. You have to be able to process your wounds without a man of faith. When I went to see the first Rambo movie, I just was so mad when I came out. The guy was an idiot. He would only last 5 seconds in combat with that because he was out as a Lone Ranger.
And you're a guy that was, you fought in Vietnam. So, I mean, you're qualified to call Rambo an idiot.
Yeah, he was an idiot. Because I never met a dumb North Vietnamese. They always operated in teams and they were deadly. If you go out and you try to win this battle alone, you will lose every time in this culture because you're constantly being bombarded. You've got to get in a group that knows what the sexual addiction cycle is, has tools to help you. And what we call Christian accountability groups are, I don't mean to be rude, but they're jokes. Basically, you join a group and you say, what would you like to do? Well, I like to lose some weight, or I like to stop being angry, or I like to stop masturbating. Okay, well, how's the group work? Well, you come back and you say, would you masturbate this week? No, I didn't. Well, we're praying for you. Good. Come back next week. Would you masturbate this week? Well, yeah, I did. Well, stop it. We're praying for you. How's that going to help you? You need a group that will help you discover why you acted out, will give you resources, help you understand what your arousal template is, help you understand what a healthy relapse prevention plan is, and help you process the wound that's down in your soul. And will help your wife, if you're married, deal with the process of your addiction. We've got to get in healthy, small groups that really are connecting people soul to soul.
Dr. Roberts, how should wives respond to their husband's admission of problems and their cry for help?
Make sure, I'm not trying to sell a product, but make sure they get in a peer desire group. Mm-hmm. And then help them to, the wife, or them to get in the Betrayal and Beyond group. And if you can't find a group, well, just order the book online, start walking through with some other gal friends, because if you're struggling with it, half the gals you knock around with, their husbands are struggling with as well. You have to understand it's not about you, because a typical wife will take the fact that her husband's involved in pornography and make it a comparison with herself. And most women in our culture have a horrible body image because they're always being compared to these, video adjusted images. And she needs to understand it's not about her. She needs to understand what some healthy boundaries are. She needs to develop a safety plan so that if he acts out again, that there would be consequences. He needs to be in a situation where he's just not getting away with it anymore, not punishing him, but saying, I deserve to be treated with respect, and this is what I need for our marriage to blossom. And then he needs to be in a group that helps him to understand the addictive cycle, helps him process his pain, and helps him walk to victory. You're not going to get out of this by trying harder. It's just not going to work. Mm-hmm. When 70% of guys sitting in the pew are losing the battle, the church has got to wake up.
What are the wrong ways that a wife should not respond to a husband who comes to her and says, look, I got a problem, I need help?
Well, the first way that will frequently be expressed by a wife is she'll basically say, well, it's your problem, get it fixed. Well, no, the two shall become one. When you married him, he drug this problem in, it affects you as well. So you need to deal with your issues as well. You're going to have some struggles. The other option is just get absolutely furious and take it so violently that you attack him and shame him.
And what about wives who tell their close friends, this is what my husband admitted to me? Well, I mean, are they setting the husband up for more failure?
Yeah, I think it's only appropriate to share your close friends if they're in a Betrayal and Beyond group. These are ladies who are struggling with the same thing you are.
Right.
And they need a support group to go. They say, in a prayer group, my husband struggles with pornography. I'd like everyone to pray for us. That's really going to help.
But you don't put it on Facebook.
No. God asks us to honor and respect our husbands. And sometimes that's one of the hardest things for a wife to do, especially when a guy is struggling. Now, she has a unique advantage. She has an upgrade. She has a female brain. This poor guy has got a male brain. What do I mean by that? It's quite common for a guy to be sitting in my office with his wife, and he's involved in pornography, and it turns his wife, and he says, but I love you. It doesn't have anything to do with you. That's the male brain. He can compartmentalize it. Female brain makes no sense to her. His involvement in pornography is directly affecting their relationship, and she can't see it any other way. She's seeing the truth. He's got to catch up.
All right, we're going to stop the tape right there today, but we're going to pick right back up there tomorrow. That was Dr. Roberts, and he was looking at pornography from a biblical and clinical perspective. All right, that's it for today. Thank you so kindly for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here on Ghostbusters.